You're listening to Star Wars Beyond the Films, the official expanded universe podcast of StarWarsReport.com.
There is a great disturbance in the Force.
Welcome to episode 23 of Star Wars Beyond the Films, your Star Wars discussion podcast airing on Middle Earth Network Radio, as well as on the Star Wars Report website. Our episodes are also available on our own Facebook page at SW Beyond Films. I'm one of your hosts, the odd one, the defender of the EU, Mark Herleman, and with me, like the absence of the Force around a Yuuzhan Vong, the even to my odd, the EU guru himself, Nathan P. Butler!
You know, does that mean that I'm nothing? Because if I'm an absence of... never mind. Hey, everybody, we're back.
Also joining us this week, for a little balance in the Force, we have two female guest hosts to counter the usual male duo. First, joining us once again, we have writer for Big Shiny Robot and fangirl extraordinaire, Kelly Adams.
Hello. I'm also known as the Yoda Princess.
The Yoda Princess. And debuting for her first time here on Star Wars Beyond the Films, Nancy Schwartz of Tashi Station Radio fame and her new column, Dear Nancy.
Hello.
Hey, hey.
Well, folks, as always, here at Star Wars Beyond the Films, we ask the tough questions. Questions that might have bothered you for a long time, simple ones that might have perplexed you off and on. You ponder Star Wars, and of course, so do we. This episode will be exploring, nay, mining, the concept of gender equality in the Star Wars expanded universe and films, and the sexism that may or may not go with it. It's a topic that a lot of podcasts purposely avoid. We're diving straight into it. Consider this your spoiler warning as well, because here we go.
Being a couple guys ourselves, we really couldn't cover this topic without a little female perspective. So we decided to bring in a couple fan ladies to explain the current state of the EU from a certain point of view. With that said, we turn the mic to them to get this started. Ladies?
Well, I have a lot of opinions about women in the expanding universe. Being one myself, I think I'm allowed to have these opinions, but I know it's a topic a lot of people think about, and basically, I actually really like what they've been doing with some of the newer characters in the expanding universe. My preferences for the EU are post-Return of the Jedi era, so that's really what I know. But I think they've done a good job in Fate of the Jedi, kind of bringing in new characters and also using older characters, particularly Jaina.
Yeah.
But it's really the older characters that have kind of soured me on women in the EU, because either they've been killed or forgotten. And the thing about Star Wars is that they have really great female characters, and yet most of the new books, like, for example, Scourge came out, I haven't read it yet, but it's on my Kindle, features a new male character. And, you know, that's fine, that's great. But I always wonder, you know, could they have done something maybe with Tion? Because she was a Jedi archivist as well, and that would have been kind of cool.
Ooh, absolutely, good point.
Yeah. So that, like, those kind of things. And I was, the whole thing that really made me angry was I was really looking forward to the Nomi Sunrider novel, and that got canceled. And I was like, no, I like her, and I want to know more about her. Why'd you have to cancel the book?
Nomi was awesome.
Yes, she was.
Now, you actually wrote an article about that, too, in fact, right? For EU Cantina back in the day? It was a Wednesday?
I did, yes. And that was really what kind of spurred it, because I was angry and wanted to vent about that. And, you know, like I said in the article, there are so many great female characters that it's really hard to, you know, to criticize Star Wars and the expanded universe, considering all the great characters they've had. But when you think about what they've done with them, the examples I use were Jaina, because they really mishandled her, in my opinion, for a long time. And Tahiri, because why was that girl still pining over her dead boyfriend so many years in the future? I mean, I'm sorry. Like, I liked her. And then they were just like, she got over Anakin, and I thought it was really cool how she combined her two personalities you know, the Yuuzhan Vong personality and her regular personality.
Yeah, Rena Quad.
Yeah, and she seemed like she would have a really bright future, and then she really kind of wasn't there in Darkness, or at least I don't remember her having a big role. And then all of a sudden, Legacy of the Force, she is pining over Anakin and will go to the dark side to kiss him again. And I was like, no, just no. Like, no.
Why? Or the no moment. You know, you mentioned Leia as another one of them. And to me, the one that always stands out is, why hasn't Leia gotten the full-on mastership? I mean, it's been long enough. I thought that would have been a right-away thing. Back, I can't even remember which book it was, but Luke had stated, you know, that some Jedi back in the Old Republic, they were healers, they were, you know, politicians, and that's probably what Leia is. She's just a different kind of Jedi. And I really had thought, like, they were going to go with that. And then it was like, well, no, Leia, you're just a politician. We're not really going to go that route, you know.
I was going to bring this up, at least from a slightly different perspective, because Leia has always pissed me off. because coming, I got back into Star Wars back in the Wasteland era where there was nothing. There was no Timothy Zahn.
Dublin Waste years.
So I got back into movies, and rewatching them as an older, you know, teenager or whatever, I was like, oh, Leia's a Jedi, you know, she's got the lineage, she's going to be a Jedi Knight, I wonder what happens after Return of the Jedi, she's going to be so kick-ass, because she was always tougher than Luke, and, you know, she had the inner strength, you know, whereas he, maybe not quite so much, and I just thought she would be the most kick-ass Jedi ever, and she would clean the floor with him. And so I picked up Timothy Zahn's novel, you know, because that was the only thing out back then. And I was so angry to find out for 5 years she'd been twiddling her thumbs, not doing anything with her rudimentary Jedi skills, just, you know, playing in the political scheme of things and not doing anything. And I don't care what they say in the EU books about why she didn't want to pursue the Jedi heritage or anything like that. She should have been picking up a lightsaber while she was on Endor battling the Ewoks.
That would have been an interesting end to Return of the Jedi for sure.
Leia's kind of the case in point that I would say, her and Padme really, are kind of the case in point to how Star Wars deals with women. And it seems like, I mean, Star Wars gets a lot of credit for its strong female characters, but it has a tendency to be almost bipolar in how it's approaching women, because it's either strong female characters, and we did get some strong female characters with Scourge. I mean, we got Rian Irana in there, Angela Kryn, who's actually from Tempest Feud, the RPG that Scourge is based on. I kind of think they had to create new characters to give us someone for that unnamed group of heroes that the original RPG player would have played as. But you basically have strong female characters on the one hand, and then they balance that, or imbalance it as the case may be, with either tearing those characters down or by presenting the complete opposite, being someone who is exactly what the vapid female characters of the 1990s Image Comics type era were expected to be. Like, for instance, in Legacy, you've got Darth Talon. Sexpot, just there for eye candy and to kill a few people and to hook up with, briefly, Cade Skywalker as he's falling to the dark side, using the sexual seduction as part of that whole mess. But at the same time, you have Darth Malady, who is creepy and one of the biggest threats out there on the one Sith side. You've got Mara Seafell, the daughter of the Emperor, the daughter of the former Emperor, the deposed Emperor, who is next in line for that throne. She's also an Imperial Knight. You've got Morrigan Cord, who is a bounty hunter in her own right and mother to Cade Skywalker, who has her own complex reasons for not being there, who's also Nina Calixta, an Imperial Moth. And you've got all these complex characters, but it's like, well, here, let's throw in the eye candy type thing. Very much like with Leia. Strong character in episode 4, strong in 5, strong in 6, but we gotta throw in a metal bikini because, hey, it's sci-fi, guys. And Padme, hers is even faster. Episode 1, probably the strongest character of the key group of characters. Episode 2, strong, but let's put her in a dominatrix outfit and let's throw her in something that is white where you can tell, yep, it's really cold in that starship, and let's have the magic Nexu who can somehow slash and turn it into a midriff and remove one of her sleeves without removing the thing that was apparently on top of it, and create something that works better for the younger teenage set or to spur young male fantasies, as Lucas put it in that Maxim article. And now we've got that the weird complex version of in this with Ahsoka, where it's supposed to be that she's this new primary character, and they tout up the fact that she is a strong woman, and we don't see very many female leads in a lot of Star Wars EU, so we need more. There needs to be a character that young girls can relate to more. And that's great. That's awesome. But then they take it on the twist of, but we're also going to put her in completely inappropriate clothing for a 14-year-old. If somebody showed up at our school, and we're, you know, we're not super urban, but we're demographically, you could think of us as almost an inner city school, okay? Girl shows up as a 14-year-old wearing what, or any age really, wearing what Ahsoka was wearing for the first couple seasons of the Clone Wars, she would be an in-school suspension, then out-of-school suspension, and probably have her parents called to either pick her up or bring her different clothing, one way or the other. Now she's older, she's about 16 years old, they give her something that's much more, what's the word I'm looking for, much more functional for a Jedi, but we gotta put in a boob window into that shirt. It's like the authors and the filmmakers don't know how to make a woman both strong and sexy at the same time. So when they want to approach the sexiness factor, it's got to be something out of left field or that seems out of character. You know, Aayla Secura, she's a Jedi Knight, but she's not going to wear regular Jedi robes. She's going to wear this stuff from when she wasn't actually a Jedi at that point in the comics. We're just going to use that as her attire forever, it seems like. I don't know. It's bipolar.
Yeah, can I put in there?
Go for it. That's my point. Bipolar.
With the outfit comment. I'm a girl, so I like clothes. Some girls like clothes, some girls don't. But it's always bothered me that a lot of the female Jedi don't wear Jedi robes because it makes no sense. And I don't understand. Like, I understand, like, the robes vary. Like, Anakin wears a different style of robe than Obi-Wan. You know, it's just different colors or whatever. But if you look at, like, Phantom Menace, there are several female Jedi on the council. And they're all wearing, like, robe style. And, you know, that, you know, cool. You know, you don't even look at them because they just blend into the background. And then you come to episode 2 and you have Aayla Secura, who is wearing not robes. There are some other Jedi, female Jedi, who are wearing robes. But even, like, characters like Luminar and Julian Barriss Offee are wearing different variations. And then you have Ahsoka. And then, you know, the whole thing with Mara Jade, after she becomes a Jedi, they never show her wearing Jedi clothing. And it just annoys me so much because I'm like, why can't you just show them wearing the same clothes that every other Jedi wears? Why do they have to be different because they're a girl? It doesn't make sense.
I just have to ask, with Mara, because I get from the standpoint of the EU is trying to say, well, it was functional and that's what she preferred to wear.
It was not functional at all.
that's the thing. It's like, is that like a classic comic hero or like the drug heroine? Is that how you say the female hero? How they wear the cat suits, like Catwoman? Yes. Is that supposedly what we're going with this? It's shifted to the comic way?
Well, if you look at like the Japanese covers for the New Jedi Order, a lot of the kids are, the Solo kids are wearing flight suits, and Jaina is wearing like a flight suit in one of them, or like she has like a jumpsuit on in one that's sleeveless or whatever. But the point is, it's not black leather. And, you know, I understand Mara doesn't like to wear Jedi robes. They say it in one of the books, you know, okay, fine. But she's described as wearing functional jumpsuits in all of the Zahn novels. And they put her in a black leather catsuit. And I'm just like, okay.
I guess you could basically call it the Beckinsale effect or the Satine effect. It's like with the Underworld movies. We're going to have a very strong heroine in that case, but in order to make her sexy, it can't be something about her personality. It's got to be something where we just put her into leather. You know, Kate Beckinsale, leather. See, that's sexy. Now we can assume she's sexy. Now we've got to now build this character, and the sexy part's been checked off the list. Like, people aren't like that. You know, people are much more integrated in the different facets of their personality, who they are, what they are, than a lot of times it's made out to be. And that seems to be the way that comics and sci-fi and, you know, Hollywood in general tends to approach women. It's just sad to see it pop up from time to time within Star Wars, but only from time to time, I will say.
You know, it's just one of those things where I never really stop and care too much as to how much detail is given to what the characters are wearing. I know that there's some authors that they'll really go in and give you like the details of the belt buckle, the blaster holster, this, that, and the other thing. To me, it almost like if you get that detailed, it takes me out of the story. But when I think about most of the characters, like for the most part, it is a generalized description. Like Nancy, you were mentioning like it was like the fatigues and the coveralls kind of thing.
Yeah.
But that seems to also be like kind of the standard dress for the Jedi of the New Jedi Order too. I recall in the New Jedi Order, that was kind of the battle garb of choice was their Jedi fatigues.
Yeah, because they weren't wearing robes because up until that point when the prequels come out, Jedi didn't have robes. Luke was always described as wearing blacks.
Yeah.
Based on his new outfit in Jedi. And, but, it, you know, after that kind of became the de facto outfit, it was still not, you know, that I always focus on Mara just because, you know, she's my favorite character, but she's the most prominent one where, you know, she's shown as wearing something completely opposite of what she should be wearing circa, you know, 40 ABY when she's so 58.
let's take a moment and look at that then. What should she be wearing?
Well, something that's practical, you know, like when it, say for example, when she's Emperor's Hand, I don't mind the outfit that's on the cover of, Choices of One. It's kind of a similar catsuit, but it's got long sleeves and body armor. It's still probably now like, it's not something I would consider functional basically, but then again, I'm not in Emperor's Hand, so maybe it is. But the point being is that sleeveless cape, some weird headscarf thing, obviously it's done to look good in a comic. And then after, you know, when she works for Card, you know, she should be wearing flight suits and coveralls and the same sort of thing every other smuggler would wear. And then she becomes a Jedi, so she can either keep wearing the same clothes or not. You know, the, just the point being is that that catsuit follows her everywhere, and you know, people always say, oh, the cover of Sacrifice was so beautiful, and I'm like, no, it was not. It was, she looks like she's 25 and
I thought, okay, let's talk about that cover.
Black leather.
Yes, exactly. When I first saw that, I was convinced. You could not convince me otherwise that it was Jaina. I thought absolutely, really? Hands down, that was Jaina Solo. No way was it Mara. And when I saw that on StarWars.com, I was kind of let down. I was like, really?
Finally.
Because that was when the whole 70s, the new 20 thing was going around. It was like every new book and new chapter in the saga was pressing how geriatric these guys aren't.
Yeah, and it was, I think it was Abyss that Mara was on the back cover of. And I thought that was Jaina. And then someone said, no, it was Mara. And I'm like, why is dead Mara on the back cover of the book? I don't understand. But that's beside the point.
Yeah, dead Mara. Well, that's one thing I will say Mara has going for her than most other dead characters. She is about the only character that I can think of off the top of my head that has passed away while we followed their story and have gone back and are filling in her backstory. I would love to see them do the similar with either of the Solo boys, you know.
Because they know they made people very angry.
They did. But at the same time, though, I want to say that Mara is like the gateway EU character for regular saga movie fans. You know, I mean, it's like most of them have an idea of who she is, even if they never grabbed a book or anything. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm off on that.
No, that,
yeah, I'd
that
say
was
her, the Solo. Yeah, her or the Solo kids, I'd say.
Her, definitely, because when they cast Shannon McGrandall, or Shannon Baxa back then, you know, to play the role of Mara on the promotional materials, you know, at the conventions, on the Decipher cards and whatnot. I mean, I'm in agreement on the idea that something needs to be more functional. I think it's less a matter, I'm less bothered by the whole thing where female Jedi aren't wearing the same things as other Jedi, so much as just, is it practical? You know, like, for instance, I'm totally cool with the idea of having, say, male Jedi wearing something different. I mean, Anakin wears something different than the other Jedi in Episode 2 to a degree, and especially in Episode 3, especially in the Clone Wars cartoon series. But
Right. But
you don't see, even when Anakin is a slave of Mirage in the Clone Wars or in the Slaves of the Republic comics, you know, the same comics where in the comic version, Ahsoka is essentially wearing something made out of duct tape,
yes,
more or less. you don't see Anakin as a slave walking around in a loincloth all oiled up or something. They don't.
Well, we did see him shirtless, all tatted out there at the end of the
Tartakovsky stuff. It's like they don't take for the men. I'm not sure that they ever try to make the men overtly sexy. That's the thing. I don't know if it's that they don't know how to blend sexuality and other characterization because they seem to not be able to do that a lot of times with the women in an obvious way, or if it's that they don't do it at all because with the men, I'm not sure we've seen enough examples to even get a feel for whether they're used to doing it, competent to doing it. You don't see a lot of Star Wars comics that take the men and try to turn them into sexual creatures, except maybe in a couple of instances, say with Cade Skywalker.
I was just going to say that.
maybe with Jahan Cross in Agent of the Empire. You just don't see that as much. So, right. maybe that's discriminating against the men because there's a side of the men that they almost never wind up showing. The only one who gets to be slick with the ladies tends to be Lando, and that's just because, well, he's Lando.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I know for me and my female friends, the characters that we tend to like are mainly because of their personalities. Like, you know, we're Luke fans, you know, because we think he's hot, but also because of who he is. He's a Jedi. When it comes to EU characters, I like characters like Card because he's smooth and, you know, like Face, because Face is funny, and Corin, because Corin is Corin, you know, and it's not necessarily because, oh, Corin Horn is so hot, because you don't really, he says he's hot because he's Corin, but you don't really get like, oh, here's Corin and skin tight leather, you know. It's who they are that is what's appealing. And I think there are so many female characters in Star Wars who are appealing because of who they are that you don't need to make them overtly sexual.
Like Yoda.
Yes. Yoda's awesome, just the way he is.
You women looking at people because of their personalities. Sheesh.
Judge me by my size, do you?
There's a bad double entendre there. Kelly, what did you think? You've been a critic before of some of Zahn's works, especially some of the later stuff.
Me?
Yeah, of course. in the perspective of the way that Mara is presented and the way she should be presented, I mean, to your mind, how should she be presented that she's not being presented? Because we went into that a moment ago with Nancy. What another female perspective? What should Mara be looking like, doing, dressing like at this point?
Honestly, I don't care. The cat suit never bothered me. I never really cared what she was wearing. Maybe more so because she was an EU character. And, you usually just have the book covers and whatnot to go off on that. She did kind of have a uniform in the cat suit, I guess. It was sort of everywhere, ubiquitous. But it never bothered me. I don't feel like she was overly sexualized or anything. I think when they did hire the Shannon to play her, I think they were going for that, you know, sort of like those female cosplayers that they hire to sell video games at conventions and things like that, where the guys approach the booth more so because of the women there rather than the product that they're trying to sell. But it didn't bother me the way that the movie characters were portrayed at all.
You mentioned the cosplay thing. I will say one thing to their credit, to the Star Wars biggins' credit, whether we're talking Lucasfilm, Dark Horse, Lucas Books, whoever. With Knight Errant, they did a really good job of having essentially a cosplayer, I think that started out as a fan, being Kara Holt at conventions. And the Kara Holt character in Knight Errant has never gotten that over-sexualization to the character. You know, I think they're still trying to figure out what they want to do with the character. But she never has come off as being one of these characters who, well, she's a Jedi, so she has to fit into this. But wait, she's a female Jedi, so let's give her this different clothing. She's got different clothing.
This next arc, Nathan, that's where they're going to do it. They're going dark side, and there's nothing but sexiness with the dark side.
Wow. So somewhere out there, Mother Talzin is going, yes, yes, I am. Scary. Well, what about one other thing that I think... I've mentioned on the show before how a lot of my views when I was very young tended to come back to lessons learned from Star Wars. You know, the weak can defeat the strong when they are banded together. There is an absolute moral right and wrong, good and evil, etc., etc. One of the lessons, especially in the EU, not as much in the films, but really played up in the EU, was this idea, empire, bad. And the Empire, well, they're anti-alien against anything that's not standardized, very Third Reich-esque in that sense. And they tend to be very sexist. That's what made Natasi Dalla, who didn't get a first name for years, such a major character, because she was a female who was able to get her way to the top, albeit partly
but
because she was hooking up with
Yesh,
sleeping
top.
Her way to the top. But she becomes a major character, major villain, major villains, then sort of an ally, then a villain again. And, you know, the Empire was meant to sort of represent those things, those prejudices that people should aspire to stay as far away from as possible. So in that sense, the sexism, not sexism perhaps built into the creation of Star Wars materials, but just the sexism as the issue of sexism is reared inside the Star Wars universe, in-universe, I think they've handled it fairly well. It doesn't seem as though a lot of the creative decisions that we see, like, oh wow, all Twi'lek women have to be scantily clad. It doesn't seem like those sorts of things, from an aesthetic standpoint, that put us off and say that may be sexism, ever actually factors into the universe itself. Like, you don't see Han Solo saying, hey, you know, when he's younger, hey, let's go check out some Twi'lek women, because you know they all dress like that. You know, it doesn't seem to affect the storytelling, and instead in the storytelling, we usually get strong women and an anti-sexism type of message. Am I missing the boat on this? Am I buying too much into the party line?
No, I agree. That's one thing I will say, is that in-universe, that they are really, really good about portraying equality and not having it seem weird that a woman is chief of state. Like, the fact that Mon Mothma was chief of state was never even... You know, that was never even an issue. You know, she was just Mon Mothma, and she was awesome, so she was chief of state. You know, her gender was never an issue. I have such a love-hate relationship with Natasi Dalla, because she's crazy, and I love her, but I also can't love her because I just can't buy that she was chief of state. But if they had used, like, if she was a completely different character, oh, I would have loved her. She would have been great. Because as far as, like, villains in the novels, they've never really played up that they're sexual. Like, you know, like Izzard, you know, she was, like, she was just pure evil and crazy. The same with Asajj Ventress. I really like her because they don't play up that she's, you know, sexy Asajj. She's just... That's who she is. And so, yeah, I agree with you, Nathan. And I really like that part that they went into that in the EU and said, you know, oh, Empire bad. They don't like women.
Curse you, Empire. You can't ever have any fun cutting all the women out of your life. Now, I, another side of this that I want to touch on is, in Fate of the Jedi, we see a dynamic between father and daughter in the Kai family that had some repercussions in fandom. There was a lot of public outcry, if you will, about what went down there. Gavar actually asked Vistara, I believe, pretty much flat out to do a little under-the-sheets kind of espionage with the Skywalker son. And, you know, there was a couple times in the last few series where the EU has kind of gone a little sexualized. Has this come off as uncalled for, or was it, in the case of Fate of the Jedi, was it just Sithly enough to make sense to you? As ladies, what would you say?
I haven't read it, so unfortunately I have no comment.
Out of all my issues of Fate of the Jedi, they're kind of down low. but Vistara I actually liked as a character, mainly because I thought that they actually put time into developing her, which is why I'll be really mad if she doesn't come back. Because
amen.
Why do you spend 9 books developing a character like that for her to disappear? But for as far as her dad, like, basically saying, go sleep with Ben, you know, the fact that they're Sith kind of, I don't know, like, we have that reaction, like, oh my God, why would you ask your daughter to do that? But at the same time, it's like, well, they're Sith, so it's probably not even that big of a deal. You know, like...
That's where I was.
Yeah, the more that the whole thing with, you know, their argument, which was, you know, could have been so better done, but came off completely the wrong way. But as far as, like, the star herself as a character, I think they did well with her. And like I said before, I like what they're doing with Jaina, because for so long, everyone was like, oh, who's Jaina going to end up with? And I'm like, I don't care. Just give her a lightsaber and let her be awesome. I really wish Fate of the Jedi would have started with her and Jag already married. Because then that whole conflict would have been done and over with. She would have been with Jag, happy. They could have done the series together. And, you know, for anyone who says, like, once you get married, like, the tension's over with and it's not fun, needs to go read the Mage Worlds books, because those are some of the best examples of a couple being awesome together and working together. You know, you don't need that romantic angst to make the story interesting.
Good. So giving me a little bit of hope now at this point, now that we're engaged and everything, Jody and I. Now, going back to this whole thing about Vestara and was this the right thing, it kind of goes into a couple of different things for me. One, this is kind of that classic American conundrum, isn't it? Where it's, you know, we're okay with the kids seeing massive, massive amounts of violence on primetime television, but don't you dare show boobs. Don't you dare show somebody's bare butt on television. And there's always that... that conundrum between, you know, how we balance gratuitous sex and violence in American media. You know, what will get you an R rating versus a PG-13 rating when it comes to sex as opposed to when it comes to violence? So in a sense, that's kind of what we're seeing here. To an American audience, oh my goodness, he wants her to seduce and sleep with Ben for a nefarious purpose? Totally okay with killing people. Totally okay with ripping people apart, eviscerating people, because that's just the Sith way. But sex, you know, that's which is the same thing, I guess, when it came to the shock of Tahiri trying to put her hand down Ben's pants back in Legacy of the Force. The same type of thing where it gives that reaction to us because of that very Western, not even Western, American version of the way that we look at sexuality versus violence. I would say, though, also with regard to was that too dark, which is kind of goes back to what Mark's initial question was, I would say that at one point, yes, it would have been too far. If you had asked that question in 2001 or earlier, too far for Star Wars to go. But that's not what Star Wars is anymore. As soon as we hit 2002, that was the year of Attack of the Clones. It was the year of Matthew Stover writing Traitor. And it was right before the Clone Wars novel series really got going and included stuff like Matthew Stover's Shatterpoint, which included a former Jedi Council member and implications that she had been raped at one point during the situation they find her in during that novel. I think we get to a point where Star Wars itself took a turn and went much less fantasy, much more hard sci-fi, and when it did that, it brought in many darker elements, possibly because that's where the mindset of the country was going. I mean, here we are, it's after the 9/11 attacks, war on terrorism is going, the blissful ignorance of thinking that we're all perfectly safe has been somewhat shattered, even though we've been attacked before, just not quite as recently. It just kind of seems as though Star Wars took a turn where now all of a sudden, I'm never shocked, it seems like, by the depths to which the villains will go, because now we are in that darker territory. I mean, when Darth Talon was hooking up with Cade Skywalker to essentially pull him towards the dark side and all the things that Darth Krayt was putting him through early on in the Legacy storyline, not a big deal to me. Having Cade Skywalker be effectively a drug addict with the Death Sticks didn't bother me. And I think that's also part of why people weren't bothered, aside from the whole Zeltron thing, with Delia Blue. She's a character who is female in Legacy, and this woman is a Zeltron, a race of over-sexualized beings, which, by the way, as I recall, they spent more time with males in that form rather than females back in the old Marvel comics. Yeah. But that sort of thing, there was some people kind of shocked by it, but didn't seem like there was a huge outcry or anything because, that's just what Star Wars is. Star Wars is more mature now than it was before. It's almost like that's why people are against the Clone Wars sometimes, because, oh, well, it's a kid's show. Yeah, it's a kid's show with terrorists committing suicide rather than getting caught. It's a show with a 16-year-old cutting off a bunch of guys' heads in one swipe. It's not always a kid's show. But I don't know. I think Star Wars has taken a turn where the darker side of this, of any topic, whether it's sexuality or anything else, is no longer out of bounds. And I think fortunately, for the most part, they've kept the women, just like the men, relatively true to that. You see women suffering like the men. You see women having to step up like the men. Heck, Alana stepped up and was a strong young female character in Fate of the Jedi. So I don't know. I like to think it's all maturing at the same pace, and some of the old ability to say at least it's strong female characters, maybe sometimes over sexualized, but that what Star Wars was known for early on about strong female characters still holds true.
Well, and they definitely led you to it. I mean, you know, New Jedi Order kicks off, Chewie dies. The biggest shock for every Star Wars fan out there. Oh, my goodness. But that kind of got you ready for Anakin's death. Anakin's death wasn't so shocking. Chewie died, after all. And then by the time that series wraps up, we've got Alima Rar, who's really starting to push sexual boundaries. I remember she was hitting on Han Solo at one point, even during Darkness. And I was like, wow, you know, this character's really going there. And then we have Tahiri later doing her thing in the next series. Then we've got Vestaris doing her thing. So I could see exactly what you're saying there, Nathan, how as the books have been progressing, there have been certain themes touched on here and there that have kind of brought down a lot of those barriers that have been up there for a lot of people for a long time.
Can I just say I despise Alima Rar? And mostly yes, because of exactly that she, like, I'm just like, okay, we get it. You're sexual. Get over it. I couldn't stand that girl.
And I don't even know if we could say it, but it was one of my favorite names, and I don't know if it was Han or Leia that screamed it at her when they called her Bug Slut. I was like,
yes!
Yes! Yep.
I was like, yep. Thank you, Leia! Woo!
I have to admit, like, that was probably one of my favorite scenes for Leia's character was the whole fight. Every fight with Alima was like, yes, take her down! Kick her butt down! I was like fist pumping. I was like, yeah, here we go! She's mad now!
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask a question then to the ladies here, and to Mark as well, because he's a father of younger girls. One of the things that, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, that kind of bothers me with the way that the films especially tend to present women is they're strong female characters, but then we have to throw in that curveball of, okay, now she's in a metal bikini. Now her clothing is ripped. I would almost say that Padme doesn't even exist as a character in many ways in episode 3. I mean, she's a thing that Anakin wants to preserve, but otherwise she sits around, you know, crying, losing the will to live, not really having a whole heck of a lot to do after being such a prominent character in the previous two films. But if we leave out that sort of self-destruction, or whatever you want to call it, of Padme's character in episode 3, and focus just on that same cycle that she goes through with Leia. Strong, strong, strong. Now here's the sexualization in some elements of it. Am I getting it wrong that this is an over-sexualization, and it's done just for the sheer effect of grabbing the audiences, the way that Lucas kind of quipped about in the Maxim article? I mean, is it possible that what we're seeing here is an outright purposeful attempt to essentially play the women essentially as both ways, as saying they're strong, but they're also sexual? You don't have to give up the sexual side in order to be a strong female character. A woman doesn't have to essentially convert herself into a man in order to be strong. Is it maybe that they were going for that, and that's just not the way that it's come off from my perspective? Or do you think that that was never an alleyway they were going down?
I think they mostly did the sexualization, particularly of, well, Padme and I think also Leia in Return of the Jedi in that stupid metal bikini, that they were going for the lust factor. I don't think it was trying to really, oh, they can be strong and hot women or, you know, anything like that. I think they were saying, we can sell posters. We can sell posters for frat boys, and this is what we're going to have her wear in this particular scene. And I think that's sort of what, you know, led them down that path. Well, I mean, it was guys making these movies, so they weren't really thinking about what would appeal to the female audience, because for so many years, Star Wars hasn't been for women. It just hasn't. I saw a little girl the other day and was saying something about Star Wars, and she said, is that for boys? And I almost said, hell no, but she was a little girl. And I said, No, of course not. You know, girls love Star Wars too, and they should. But it's always bothered me the way, you know, the merchandising is aimed at boys. And, you know, we were talking a little bit before the show about how all the action figures, there's 20 Luke Skywalker action figures to every 2 of Princess Leia, but she has, you know, 8 times the costume changes as he does. You know, how many different Luke Skywalker action figures can we have in the white outfit or the black outfit or the gray outfit? I mean, really. So I think, you know, now we've got some improvement upon that with her universe and how that's aiming towards girls. You know, some might argue that it's too girly with the, you know, bedazzled hats and things like that, or, you know, all the pink.
Hey, I want some of those charms.
You gotta tap into your feminine side, Mark.
I was like, I'm all going to Marv. Look, 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 and they got an Imperial logo now too.
You know, the Her Universe thing has actually been pretty good. I've been able to buy things from time to time for Jody, and you know, she's a Star Wars fan too. Especially we watch the Clone Wars together all the time whenever it airs the new episodes and whatnot. But that was another thing was, how do you, as a male who happens to be with someone who is a Star Wars fan female, how do you buy stuff as gifts for the women? Unless you're just buying essentially.
Yoda.
You buy Yoda.
If it's got Yoda on it, you buy it. You know what happens? You get lucky. I'm just saying.
Or R2-D2.
Sorry.
Not touching it.
By the right foot.
But no, Her Universe has been nice, although I did wind up finding myself in the awkward, amusing position. If listeners don't also listen to Star Wars Action News, a while back, there was a discussion about the different things going on in fandom a couple of years ago, and it struck me that Ashley Eckstein basically models everything on the website except for the Boba Fettish underwear and top. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, granted, I did buy one of those for Jody, but it kind of fell under the category of, as soon as I said that, everyone's like, ooh, I'm not sure you're supposed to notice that, and if you notice it, I'm not sure you're supposed to comment on it. You know, what is it that makes this topic so stinking taboo for Star Wars? Because race comes up, and we talk the race issue with Star Wars, talk about the different messages of Star Wars, where it gets into topics like terrorism. I mean, these are some hot-button issues, and yet somehow sexualization or the sexism issue, plus also the race issue to a degree, it's like they seem like there are things that a lot of fans don't want to discuss, as if they're afraid that just by talking about the topic, they themselves will somehow taint their ability to ever talk about other Star Wars topics. It blows my mind that this isn't something that's been explored a little more thoroughly, particularly out there in the podcast universe, especially now we got things like the Big Shiny Robot, Big Shiny Girl cast and whatnot that has female-hosted podcasts. Corellian Run, another female-hosted podcast.
Well, we're still new, so we've got plenty of topics we can hit on in future episodes.
I don't know. Mark, you've brought up the topic before of sexism and whatnot. What has been your experience in trying to talk about this on either other podcasts, either as hosts or as guests, or talk about this in forums, because you've been on a lot of different forums, whether the official side or otherwise. And what's been your experience when you try to bring this up? Am I right that this is something that really most people say, ooh, hot potato, I'm not going to touch it?
It has been. It was a topic. It and a race factor issue are topics that other podcasts I've been on have shied away from. We didn't want to rock the boat, or at the time, fandom wasn't ready for an article like that. And that, too, is something we see. I mean, Nancy, you wrote an article for EU Cantina, and I recall when you wrote that, Chris Carey wrote a counter article, I think, like, the next day or the day of. And I remember reading it then, and they shelved it. You know, they felt like, well, you know, we'll give Nancy's some time, and we'll see where this goes. And I remember, you know, thinking, well, that one was never going to see the light of day, you know. And then, boom, it made the light of day. And that was when fandom started to rock and roll. And we had talked about on this show doing this episode back in March for a controversies month. And we just couldn't get enough people together at the time to make it work. So we shelved the idea ourselves. And we were just like sitting there like watching fandom on Twitter. Everybody's blowing up over this whole, you know, what's going on over there at that EU Cantina site and their different articles. And I was like, well, you know, now's about a good time to jump on this wagon and kind of talk about it and see what's going down, because obviously a lot of people do think about it. And it's not until someone throws some gasoline on the topic and then lights the match that we finally see, you know, what people are thinking.
I'll just say about that is that I think a lot of times either people want to create controversy or they're afraid that talking about a controversial issue will immediately have people calling them sexist or racist or something like to that effect. And like the thing is, you know, it's, I don't want to say guys can't understand sexism, because that's kind of a sexist comment, but
that's a generalization.
It is a generalization. But you know, the point is, and not every woman has the same opinion, so you can't say that either. But you know, the point being is that, you know, my main thing is, I was angry about the Nomi Sunrider book being canceled, and that got me angry and thinking, you know, we've had so many books that are marketed as a, you know, Luke Skywalker book or a Han Solo book or a Revan book or a, you know, whoever book. But no books have ever been marketed as a Mara Jade book. She was on the cover of Choices of One, but the back cover said, "The fate of the Alliance rests on Luke Skywalker's next move." So my point being is that, you know, I was saying, well, why haven't there been a Leia novel? I really want to see Leia, like, when she was in the Senate, you know, before A New Hope. Or a Padme novel, kind of like how Darth Plagueis, you know, brought everything from the prequels in together into that one novel and trying to do that with Padme. Novels about those characters specifically would be interesting. And it's not even so necessarily that I just want a book with a female main character just to have one. Because, I mean, I'll read books about male main characters, obviously. My favorite character is Luke Skywalker. But I think those characters specifically are really interesting. And most of the female characters are so interesting that now that they're not featured anymore, I wonder where they've gone. And I miss them in the novels. So I think that's why I get annoyed about the female roles in the novels. But like I said, that's just my opinion. I think they've been doing better, and I look forward to seeing what comes after Fate of the Jedi.
Well, you're definitely entitled to your opinion, as we all are.
Thank you, Mark.
You see, I've got to agree that we see women featured as strong characters quite often, sometimes with the over-sexualized stuff and whatnot, but we really don't see a lot of stories that focus specifically on women as the title character. I'd almost say that Knight Errant stands out as one of the few instances we've ever seen a female as not just a lead character, but the lead character, the focal character. I mean, I guess you could sort of say Tatooine Ghost, but not really. And if that's your one good example, that's not really a great example. So hopefully we'll see more like Knight Errant, I would say.
Yeah, Tatooine Ghost, I'd say, is more of a Han and Leia novel than just a Leia novel.
Yeah.
The one we had a New Jedi Order was Dark Journey, and that was, like, I think in 2002 or 2001 it came out. And now, 10 years later, Jaina has become such a prominent character that I wonder, well, where's the book about her? Or not necessarily just about her, but having a book with Jaina and Jag to kind of mirror the, you know, Tatooine Ghost and Survivor's Quest that we had with the older generation.
The Courtship of Princess Leia had the potential to be a very Leia-centric novel. I mean, look at the title. It's got her name in it, and that original hardcover by Drew Struzan was this huge picture of Leia in this gorgeous wedding gown and diadems in her hair and everything else. And mostly it was about Luke on, you know, his missions and whatnot, and Han whining the whole time about Leia doesn't love me and Isildur is like Fabio. And it just, you know, the characterizations were poor, and it had the potential to be such a good novel. And and that reminds me that I did want to mention the matriarchy and the Hates Consortium, and I guess the Dathomir witches. To be a non-Leia-centric novel, it definitely did try to make a stance, I guess, about women in power, which I thought was intriguing, and the political going-ons with the, you know, what's her name, the Queen Mother, the Chumeda, and the all the assassin plots, and she trying to kill Leia, and I mean, all that backstory was kind of interesting, but so disappointed in that book even now.
You know, that is a general theme in the EU, though. I mean, you never have a standalone book that is going to appeal to everybody. I think about, you know, when I look at my bookshelf, I can't ever remember 100% of the story. I just remember key parts that I really enjoyed and then key parts that I really disliked. And even my top books, you know, Star by Star and I, Jedi, there are parts in even those books that I find at times, or I just didn't care for that. But it's one of those things where when I think about gender, I would love to see, you know, like Nancy said, a Jaina Solo-focused story. Whether or not they went with Jaina and Jag's building of their relationship like they did in Tatooine Ghost, I'd be okay with that. But at the same time, if they focused only on Jaina, I would be just as happy. I think a main thing that the EU needs to do is really let these second-generation characters step out in the light. And the fact that Jaina hasn't gotten more books boggles my mind. You know, it's just one of those things like, why? And now we've got Tor, where we've got Satiel Shan, and there's another. She's the Grand Master of the Order. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing a book about her. The whole Mandora getting canceled was another one that kind of was like, why? You know, we'd mentioned Scourge and the fact that, you know, it's got a main male character, a bunch of new characters, and the main character was, I believe, I haven't read it yet myself. I've got it on my bookshelf. I'm almost there. Was the archivist. And yet, you know, Nancy, you had mentioned in the pre-chat, and I think even on the show, about how Tion would have been a great character that they could have easily added into that story just as well. I, as a guy, though, would like to see more female characters kind of come in. They don't have to necessarily stomp on the males, but they do need to have more page time, in my opinion.
If I can toss in on the whole Scourge thing, though, to say this is a character, because this character's an archivist, Mandrazuma is this brand new character essentially filling in the RPG character's role, since this is essentially an RPG story, Tempest Feud being adapted. In order for Tion to be the archivist, we would have had to see her undergo the same type of tearing down of her character that Padme got in Episode 3 and that other characters have wound up getting throughout the course of the EU, where they sort of become these strong female characters and then they disappear. Like, Tenel Ka is doing all this great stuff, and now she's just kind of sitting around letting others do the great stuff for her, where even when she first became queen, it seemed like she had a little more action to her, for instance. But Tion is not a Jedi who questions herself all the time. She is an established character who's been around for ages. You know, she's the one putting together the Essential Guide to the Force. And part of Mandrazuma's whole issue is that Mandrazuma is someone who, because of his specific skills in the Force and his specific proclivities for what he's interested in, the history of the Jedi and such, he's not the super action hero. He does doubt whether or not he was the correct person that should have trained a Jedi who is much more impulsive. He's not quite as wishy-washy as Jaden Kor in Cross Current, but hardly anybody is ever as wishy-washy as Jaden Kor was in Cross Current, with the possible exception of Padme in Episode 2. To have Tion be that character, she would have had to have essentially been diminished to the point where she's the one questioning herself all the time. She's not sure of her abilities. She's not sure what she's doing. She could very easily have been a minor character in there, and there is a point where I believe she's mentioned, but I can't imagine her being the main character. She could get a book of her own, and she got a short story or two of her own, but could she have been the main character of Scourge, not and had the story play out the way that the story of Scourge played out and the way that Tempest Feud played out? It would have to have been a very different story, a very different book. So Tion, sure, but not Scourge.
Right, and like I said, I haven't read it yet. It's just I think it's more of a issue with maybe the initial marketing or announcing books, because like I said, I had the same reaction. And a lot of people had the same reaction when they announced Holostar, and everyone assumed it was going to be about Winsa Starflare, and it wasn't, because that wasn't the story they were going to tell. But then people got disappointed because it wasn't about Winsa Starflare. But that's a completely different issue than just gender.
Those high hopes and us EU fans.
Yeah, we have such high hopes, Mark.
New game! Oh, Battlefront! Oh, Force Unleashed 4. We're going to go ahead and do our final thoughts real fast on the gender issue. Overall, would you say it is a major issue or a minor issue or something else? With that, we'll kick off to you ladies.
Well, I guess I'd say it's a pretty major issue. I mean, we've brought up a lot of missed opportunities, I guess, to highlight female characters. And it's not for lack of good characters. I mean, we've talked about, you know, everyone loves Mara, and or most people do. And there's Tenel Ka and of course, Leia, and, you know, some of the lesser-known characters that they could definitely bring to the forefront. So there's a wealth of strong, capable, interesting women in these stories that they just don't seem to want to write about. So, I would say it's a very missed opportunity, major issue. And, you know, even in the movies with Padme and everything, it was just... I maybe it's because guys write these a lot. I don't know what the problem is, but there's enough female fans. I guess if we made our voices heard, maybe it'll make a difference.
I think that missed opportunity is a great way to describe it. And like I said, I didn't like Apocalypse as a book as a whole, but I did like Jaina in it. And I think the potential is there for other stories. But I think, it's not even necessarily just the female characters, like Mark said before, the entire Next Generation. You know, I love Luke, but they need to get away from having them be the main characters of the stories all the time if they're going to keep going on the timeline. Why I read the books because I love these characters. And, you know, when they come out and they say, we're going to do a Luke Skywalker book, and then I'm like, oh my God, that's great, because they're going to focus on the character and not the plot. And yeah, a great plot is important, but I want to see books that delve into these characters and tell you what they're thinking, whether it be female or male characters. And they've done that sometimes with, you know, male characters like Aes Jedi and Luke Skywalker and the Shadows of Mindor and several other books. But I would really love to see something like that with Leia, Padme, Jaina, a Jaina book after Legacy of the Force. I mean, come on, that girl has got to be going through major issues at that point in time. So those are just the things I would like to see.
That is, to me, I don't care if it's male, female. I want a good, deep character. And I'm with you, Nancy. I want to know what's going on in their head. Whether or not they're mistaken in their beliefs or they're 100% sound in what they know, I want to get that inside look. Leia is a character that I would love to see her backstory played with more. I don't think I would want like a series of books necessarily while she's a politician, but maybe one. I really want to see, though, some more stories of her as a Jedi. Give her some solo missions. Pun intended. And same with Jaina. I'm really, really, really upset with Fate of the Jedi as a series that they did not go deeper into the Imperial connection. There was about two or three times I was thinking, all right, we finally have an Imperial Knight. No. And I'm waiting for that. I've had this feeling that, you know, Jaina might be the first Grand Master of the Imperial Order, and I want to see how that plays out. We know that the editors know that Legacy, the comic series, is fast approaching, and they're trying to tie the things together. So who knows? You know, there is some definite potential down the road for Jaina's character especially to get some really good solo stories. It's something I personally would love to have.
You know, going back to your original question, is it a major thing? Is it a minor thing? I would say it's both. In-universe, the whole gender issue is a minor thing, because in-universe, I think they've handled it very well. It doesn't seem as though there's a lot of gender inequality unless you're dealing with the Empire. On the flip side, though, in the real world, in the way that they approach putting these stories together and who it's written for and who it's written about, yeah, I think it is a major issue. I think that there needs to be more of an effort made to feature more strong female characters in lead roles or in featured roles, like with, say, Knight Errant, Dark Journey, and things like that. Personally, I find that I just enjoy a good Star Wars story. It doesn't matter to me who is in it, but I'm also a guy. So I don't usually pick up necessarily on the feeling as though this is not made for me. The video game blogger John Scalzi over on, I think it's Scalzi is how you pronounce it, over on Kotaku, wrote a great article entitled Straight White Male, the lowest difficulty setting there is, right? And that's really true. I'm of the group that, whether we're talking the race issue or we're talking even an age issue now with Star Wars to a degree, where, you know, race, gender, everything, I'm sort of in that target audience, maybe a little bit older now than the target audience, but I'm in that target audience, so it's hard for me to sit back and say, wait a second, I can't remember the last time someone like me was featured in a story. I mean, maybe not as many tech geeks, but I can't remember the last time somebody like me. So it is a major issue, but it's one that doesn't get enough attention, and until more people, I think, start talking about the issue and aren't afraid of talking about the issue, it's not something that's going to pop up on the radar so that people are actually making the decisions behind the scenes quite as often as perhaps it should.
Well said, well said. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, balance was kept and wraps up our episode of Star Wars Beyond the Films. Remember, you can find our show at www.starwarsreport.com. as well as on our Facebook page, iTunes, Zune, and airing on Middle Earth Network Radio. If you like our show, be sure to drop us off a review on iTunes or the Zune Marketplace, or just fire us off an email. You can email us at beyondthefilms@starwarsfanworks.com. Be sure to interact with us on Facebook and Twitter at @SWBeyondFilms. And a special thank you to the ladies for brightening up our man cave here at Star Wars Beyond the Films. Thanks again so much.
Thanks for having us.
It was fun.
And where can we find you all online if you want to hear more of your stuff?
Well, you can read my articles on a variety of geek topics and articles by other writers at Big Shiny Robot. And you can email me at Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, at BigShinyRobot.com. And then be sure to follow the Big Shiny Girl Cast on Twitter. It's a podcast of the girls of Big Shiny Robot, and you can find us there at BSR Girlcast.
You can read articles and other columns on Tashi-Station.net. I also co-host the podcast there. We do a weekly podcast. And I also have started a writing blog. You can follow that at nancyschwartz.wordpress.com if you want to see my ramblings about current things that I'm writing. And follow me on Twitter at nancypants. That's Nancy with an I.
Thank you, ladies. Nancy, Kelly, once again, this is Mark and
Nathan.
We thank you once again for listening, and may the force be with you.
And don't quote us the gods.